I'll be preaching this morning. Let's open up to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and let's start with verse 9. John chapter 12, verse 9 says, "When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he, Jesus, had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to him shouting, 'Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him." Verse 17, "So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him." Amen. Let's pray. God, King Jesus, we adore you. We lift you up today. We join with the church singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel, the King of the world." Today, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my hearts be pleasing unto you. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts, all our hearts, be pleasing unto you this morning, God. Speak to us today, that we may be transformed into your likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm currently in the season of Lent. The season of fasting. Maybe you think that Lent is only for Catholics, but it's not. It's for all Christians, and so many Christians around the world are fasting for 40 days leading up to Easter. During the season, the church fasts, and we don't fast things that are bad for us. We fast from things that are good for us. Like, I'm fasting from meat. Meat isn't bad, right? Meat is good. Some people are fasting from TV. TV isn't necessarily bad. TV can be a good thing. Other people are fasting from going to the gym. Other people are fasting from makeup. I know women who are fasting from makeup for 40 days. They're fasting from things that are good. One of my friends said that another friend of hers told her that she was going to fast from marijuana. It doesn't work that way, right? You should just give up drugs altogether. We fast from things that are good in the season, because we are reminded how much we need God during the season, how petty we are, how fragile life is. We are reminded that we need God, and it's a rough time for us Christians who are fasting. It's a really rough time to fast from something good for 40 days. You might notice when I'm around meat that I start being a little bit more anxious, you know. Maybe I start having a nervous tic, like someone who's trying to recover from an addiction. It's because I like to overindulge on good things. My natural cravings are bent towards corruption. I like to become oversatisfied by good things. What about you? Is that something that you're inclined to do? To seek after pleasure excessively, maybe? I like to eat until I am more than satisfied, right? Until I am more than full. I like to live for myself and think about myself always. The choices that I make are about what pleases me, right, in this moment. So during this time, it's my goal to try to get my cravings right. To get my cravings right so that I am bent towards Jesus and not my personal, my body, my physical cravings. And through that, it's like I get a glimpse of death. Part of me is constantly dying every day so that my craving can be fixed. My reliance on things that don't sustain me begins to die. And it hurts. It hurts. Most of us who are fasting can claim that this season is a time of pain. The reason that the church fasts for 40 days, though, isn't just about death. It's not just about suffering, but it's a preparation for feasting. We are preparing for Easter, and in the church, historically, Easter is this time of feasting. It's a great big feast, a long feast. It doesn't just last one day, it lasts months. Easter is a time of great rejoicing, and so we fast and we practice Lent because we are preparing for Easter. We are preparing for resurrection. But in order to experience resurrection, we have to die, don't we? You can't resurrect if you have not died. A living person can't resurrect. They are just living. You have to die to experience resurrection. And the good news is we know that death is only temporary. The good news for me today is that I only have 6 more days of meatless living. Next Sunday, I can definitely eat meat as much as I want, and I can feast on meat, right? Resurrection is coming soon. For me, resurrection means that death is temporary, and I can say that with confidence, we are people of resurrection because we believe in resurrection. We believe that Christ has died and Christ is risen, don't we? We believe that death no longer has the final word, that it's Jesus who has overcome death for us all. He's overcome death for us all. So how do we practice this resurrection in this world? We pick up in Scripture today with a crowd following Jesus into the holy city of Jerusalem. It's time. It's time for Jesus to go to this sacred spot because he is King of the Jews, after all, isn't he? He is God of Israel. He belongs in the city where the temple is in. So he's coming in triumphantly on a donkey, just like a king. And people are waving their palm branches at him, and they're singing. They are laying down their cloaks before him so that he doesn't have to step on the dirty road. He's coming victoriously. Like a king, like a savior, like a Messiah, the Christ. There is excitement in the air, isn't there? If you look at this picture, it seems like there's rejoicing. It's a parade for Jesus. There's no sadness. People are happy that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. There are so many people there. I'm sure that it's a noisy scene, that people are shouting and people are rejoicing. They're praising Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. That's what they're saying. They're worshiping at Jesus' feet. But if we read closely, it's not just because of Jesus that so many people are there, is it? Why are the people there? They're there because of Lazarus. They're there because they witnessed the life of Lazarus. If we read closely, we read that people were drawn to Jesus because Lazarus was with Jesus. And who doesn't want to see a dead man walking, right? It's like the circus. People love the circus because they love all the tricks and the magic shows. People are here because there's a dead man who's come back to life. So come see him while you can, right? You see, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. For four whole days, he had been in his grave, and now he is breathing. Now he is walking, and he's alive, Lazarus. This man that Jesus loved, he was raised back to life, and it's his testimony that drew crowds to Jesus. People came from all over to see the man who was dead. But now he's alive, and many people turned their hearts to Jesus because of that. They saw a man who was raised back to life, and now they become followers of Jesus because Jesus did that. Lazarus was key to Palm Sunday, this day that we celebrate in the church today, because it was his testimony that drew people to Jesus. It was his testimony that drew people's hearts to Jesus. It was his life that caused people to believe in Jesus and to decide to follow Jesus. It was his life that caused people to sing Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. People didn't get a revelation of Jesus on their own. No, they looked at Lazarus. And when they looked at Lazarus, they said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Because who doesn't like resurrection, right? Who doesn't like a magic show? Who doesn't like seeing the dead come back to life? That's exciting, isn't it? Because our human hearts are conditioned to desire eternal life, doesn't it? We want to live forever. We want the fountain of youth. We want eternity. I'm sure that a part of our attraction to Christianity and maybe to Jesus is because of this resurrection spirit, this eternal life that we can find in him. We are attracted to Jesus because we realize that we too need resurrection. The thing that needs to die, Jesus keeps in the grave. But the thing that needs redemption, we know that Jesus can resurrect and bring back to life. Our hearts, our bodies even, our spirits, God can bring back to life. Jesus can bring back to life, and we hope in this resurrection. I think it's important to note that what Lazarus experienced wasn't resurrection, because he would die again one day. Only Jesus has experienced resurrection so far, because he lives for eternity. He's only died once. Poor Lazarus, he had to die two times. But Jesus, the conqueror of death, is the only one who can give us true life, because he's the only one who's experienced eternity so far. After you've experienced death, I'm sure you would have a new perspective on life. I'm sure that after Lazarus was raised from the dead, he had a new, brand new perspective on life. All that we can come close to is a near-death experience, right? And sometimes when our life flashes before our eyes, we get our priorities straight then. After we get into a car accident, or after we've been sick in the hospital with cancer or something like that, we tend to get our priorities straight. But I'm sure that what Lazarus experienced is far more serious than that. Because Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. He allowed Lazarus to experience a brief sting of death so that Lazarus could truly live. Lazarus had to experience that brief sting of death so that he could really live. I'm sure that Lazarus' life was changed forever post-death. And we see it in Scripture, because after Lazarus experienced death, it seems like Lazarus is following Jesus everywhere. Lazarus came out from the tomb, and they unwrapped him, and he was breathing and living again, and Lazarus kept on following Jesus. He walked wherever Jesus walked. Jesus went to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem with Jesus. Jesus was going to Bethany. Lazarus was going to Bethany with Jesus. He even opened up his home for Jesus and provided a meal for Jesus, things that we didn't see in Scripture before Lazarus was raised from the dead. Lazarus was really changed. And seems like Lazarus didn't care that there was a death sentence on his life, that people wanted to kill him. It seemed like that didn't matter to Lazarus, because what's the worst that could happen? He would die? He's already died. Is that so bad? And so he was bold in his testimony to Jesus, and maybe he even proclaimed that Jesus was so great, and that's what drew people to him and drew people to Jesus. Seems like Lazarus was quick to serve Jesus, because death was not a hindrance anymore, but it was an opportunity for Jesus to show Lazarus what real life is. So how do we practice a resurrected life when we haven't died? For me, I practice death through fasting, through letting go of things that are good for me so that I can fix my cravings towards Jesus, so that my cravings can be made right again. How do we live a resurrected life? How do we overcome death on this side of eternity? I'm going to give you three suggestions, only three. First, we practice the resurrected life by setting our focus on eternity. When we set eternity in focus, I think that it becomes easier for us to live a resurrected life. You see, the chief priest had a death sentence on Lazarus, right? They had a death wish for Lazarus. They wanted to kill Jesus, and they wanted to kill Lazarus because people were coming to Jesus because of Lazarus' life. And I think that Lazarus knew just how unpopular he was with the religious authorities, and yet he continued to be by Jesus' side, and it seemed as if he had no fear, because he knew that to be with Jesus was to experience eternity. To be with Jesus was to experience life. He had his mind focused on eternity because he's experienced that death. The risks associated with following Jesus were greatly reduced after death, because the worst thing that could happen had already happened to him. Eugene Peterson says the practice of resurrection is an open invitation to live eternity in time. The practice of resurrection is an open invitation to live eternity in time. What this means is that if we are to live with a resurrected spirit, if we are to live with a resurrected life, we are always focused on the eternity. We're not focused on how much time we have left. We're focused on the great space of eternity. Actually, there is no space in eternity. It's boundless. So the boundless space of eternity. When we focus on eternity, it's easier to let things go. It's easier to let things go, the things that maybe annoy us, or the things that ultimately don't matter. When I focus on eternity in my fast, it becomes a little bit easier for me to let go of meat, because I know that in eternity, there's going to be an abundant supply, right? My desire to accumulate wealth in this world ultimately doesn't matter because when I arrive in eternity, gold isn't even valuable. It's something that we step on. It's dirty. Diamonds don't even matter. It's the stone that we build our houses on. It's worthless. When I focus on eternity, it's easier to build my life on the things that matter. My relationships matter. My relationship with you and with my friends and my coworkers matter because I'm going to see you in eternity, I think. Right? Jesus matters. When I focus on eternity, I really realize that Jesus matters because Jesus is the eternal one. He's the reason for eternity. Secondly, we practice the resurrected life by cultivating our cravings for heavenly realities. What this means is that we do things that don't make sense to the rest of this world. We do things that are heavenly, such as we forgive those who have really wronged us. We don't keep bitterness inside. We forgive like Christ forgives. We love even our enemies. That's setting our sights on heavenly realities. We work for peace and justice. Not for wealth, not for fame, not for success, but for the peace of God on this earth. We welcome the stranger and the outcast. As it says in the Bible, that doesn't make sense. Why welcome someone who you do not know? But we were once strangers in a foreign land, and so God says, welcome the stranger too. We care for creation. We care for the environment. We recycle. Because this world, believe it or not, is going to be an eternity. We're going to live here when heaven meets earth. We train our body, soul, and spirit to crave the things that Jesus preached about in his sermon in Matthew 5. We become meek. We want to be the peacemakers. We want to be poor in spirit. We want to hunger and thirst for righteousness, things that are difficult to do, things that our spirits don't naturally crave. We align ourselves with heavenly realities in order to live a resurrected life. I'm grateful for the bluntness of Scripture, how in John it says that the disciples did not understand these things, and they did not understand until Jesus was kind of gone. That gives me hope, you know. If I don't get these things right now, maybe one day I will, when Jesus reveals them to me. It gives me hope that I don't give up seeking out a new way of living, that I continue to train my spirit to crave the things, the heavenly things, the things that may seem worthless in this world, but in heaven they are so, so valuable. Lastly, we experience and practice the resurrected life by following Jesus wherever he goes. Following Jesus wherever he goes. Resurrection is never far from Jesus. Life is never far from Jesus. And I think that's why Lazarus clung to Jesus' side, because he's experienced death once. And now that he's alive, he's going to stay next to life as often as he can. Resurrection can't exist without Jesus. It is impossible for us to live a resurrected life when we don't follow Jesus. It's so easy to put Jesus to the side, isn't it? I forget about Jesus at work until I'm at a point of crisis. And then that's when I remember Jesus. I forget Jesus when things are going good, and then in an emergency, I call on Jesus' name. So many times I say and sing, Jesus is the center of my life. But But in reality, Jesus is on the sidelines of my life. It's so easy to say that we are Christian, especially here in America when there's no persecution that comes along with that, when there's no hardships that come with calling yourself Christian. There's no cost to that label. It's harder to say, for me at least, that I am a follower of Jesus. Because being a follower of Jesus means that I have to obey what Jesus says and I actually have to be close to him. I can't follow Jesus if I'm not close to Jesus. I can't follow the leader if I don't see the leader. And following Jesus requires a closeness, a proximity. It's hard to follow someone from afar. It's hard to follow someone from afar. So that's why Lazarus was close to Jesus. He desired to be close to Jesus from here on out, inviting Jesus into his home, inviting Jesus to eat with him, serving Jesus. Lazarus knew that Jesus was the source of life. And that resurrection was to be with Jesus. Lazarus literally couldn't live without Jesus. Sign of a resurrected life is a life that draws people to Jesus. A life that draws people to become followers of Jesus. I believe that if we live out these things that I have spoken about, we could probably draw people to Jesus. We could probably make people worship Jesus. And maybe we're not making them worship Jesus, but they'll naturally worship Jesus because they see the value of Jesus. Does your life do that? Does your life bring others to worship Jesus? Does your life draw people to follow Jesus? A good life draws people to you, but a resurrected life draws people to Jesus. A good life draws people to you, draws people to how good you are, how good I am, you know, how impressive I am. I know I'm really impressive. How qualified I am, how amazing I am. But a resurrected life? You know that you're living a resurrected life when people say how good your God is. When people say praises to your God after seeing your life. You see, people didn't go to Lazarus and say, Lazarus, you must have been so impressive. Lazarus, you must have been so special to Jesus. Lazarus, good for you. You know, how amazing are you, Lazarus? No. Because of Lazarus's life, crowds came and waved palm branches at Jesus. At Jesus. So, examine the fruit. Are people praising you or are they praising Jesus when they look at your life? Are they waving the palm branches and are they making a way for you or are they making a way for Jesus? I'm reflecting on my own life and I wonder if my life causes others to sing. Does my life lead others to proclaim Hosanna to God? And does my life cause people to adore God? Because all too often I know that for me, I like to feel like I'm the hero. I like to receive the credit. It feels good. I like it when people think that I've overcome death and that I've done that through my own strength, that I'm the good Christian, that I am the devout one, right? I like feeling important. I like feeling like I'm doing something good. I want people to wave their palm branches at me. I like making people think that Jesus chose me because I am special, because I am deserving of it. I want it all to be about me, me, me. And that's why I have to die. That's why I have to fast, to get my cravings right again, The choices that I make aren't about me. It's about the people that I'm with, and it's about Jesus. Every choice that I make is not about me. It's about the people that I'm with, and it's about Jesus. The self-centeredness is so toxic because it places me at the center of the story when God's story is all about Jesus. I can't redeem myself. Lazarus couldn't redeem himself. He needed Jesus. Lazarus's practice of a resurrected life led to a parade for Jesus. We wouldn't have Palm Sunday without the role that Lazarus played. The way he gave testimony to Jesus and led people to gather in amazement of how great God is. You see, the good news for Lazarus was the good news for everyone. If the good news for you is only for you, that's not good news. If you're the only one feasting, that is not a feast. You can't feast by yourself. If you're the only one experiencing joy, that is not joy. So a good life focuses on you, but a resurrected life focuses on everyone else. Is your community feasting with you? Is your community rejoicing with you? Are they celebrating in the good news with you? The good news is not about you. It's about all of us, and it's about Jesus. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Is that the song that people sing when they look at our lives? Is that the song that people sing when they look at my life? I really wonder. Because this is the song of the living. This is the song of life, right? A song of resurrected life. A song of testimony that Jesus can raise people from the dead. A song that says that Jesus can raise my life too from the dead. I am so dead. I am so toxic. I am so corrupt. But God can raise me from the dead. And if God can do that to Lazarus, God can do that to me too. And I hope that when people look at my life, if God can do that in Kevin's life, God can do that for me. May we live resurrected lives. May we remember that as we come into Easter and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks, for you are a God of resurrection. You are a God who can bring back the dead things to life. You can redeem the things that have died. And you can also keep things in the grave that don't need to live. I pray that for me, my corruption and my bent towards things that are not of you, the way that I like to satisfy myself, the way that I chase after pleasure that is not from you, or replacing things that you should have taken complete control of, complete part in. I pray, God, that you will fix that. I pray, God, that you will give me the grace to live a resurrected life, that you will give me the grace to focus on things that are eternal, that you will allow me to follow you, Jesus, with everything, even when it's hard, that you will align my heart to heavenly realities, that I will align my cravings to things that are of above and not of this earth. And in that, may people see you, and may they come to you and not to me. May they come to you and not to us, Jesus. That they will also say, Hosanna, we adore you, God, and that they will follow you. Thank you for this reminder on Palm Sunday. We adore you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.